quote myself
uh-huh.
from an episode of Sidecast. I said, there is a certain element out there of the social justice warrior community on the internet, shall we say, who always ask the question, is it possible to be racist towards white people?
Uh-huh.
And I say, you clearly haven't listened to Two Angry Men.
Honest with you, I know I've been rambling on here for like the last 5 minutes, but to be totally truthful and honest, I only wanted to do like one reunion show, I wanted to be like a 3-hour reunion show. We do one show, we get that out of our system, and we see that, you know, that we don't have it anymore, and then we keep on moving with our lives. But
And then you had to bring Ice JJ Fish to the world.
So I've been on Xbox Live a lot, and Firm's been on Xbox Live a lot. And Firm just brought this dude up to me one day. He's like, "Yo, have you seen this Ice JJ Fish guy?" I was like, "No." He's like, "Hey, I'm gonna send you the link." And so he sent it to me, and I'm watching it. I'm like, "What the hell is this?" That was all Firm. I've been listening to your Canon show. I listened to the last one. Oh my god, yo! If I did not have like a bucket in my room, there would be piss all over the floor. I was laughing so hard. I mean, especially when that one line where Sean talks about the bald eagle flying through a school shooting. I lost it.
That one came out of nowhere. I was just like, "Well, I'm backing up away from this."
Yeah, and you know, you can feel because there's no like immediate response to it, right? Like, you give it a second, just like a half of a second to hold on, to like, you know, just let it lay out there for a second. But that is, that was probably one of the funniest episodes, of any podcast that I've ever listened to, ever.
It was fun. I think there was that at the beginning, and I remember we were going on about the helicopter pilot at the end.
Yes!
And, there was all that stuff about how it's The Undertaker's favorite film and shit. But, it was fun on the record. We haven't done one in a while.
What movie? I don't know if Canon did this movie, but it's one of my favorite, like, 80s. And the reason why is because my mother would go to Walmart and go to, like, the VHS bin and just buy these, like, off-brand movies, right? Right, and just come home with them. Like, you would never buy like the new hot releases from it. It would always be like some weird like offshoot. Like, I remember watching Hamburger Hill as a kid. Like, and that's not a movie a kid should be watching, but that was the movie that she had brought home, and that was something for, you know, me and my sister to watch. Hamburger Hill. So this is the movie I want you guys to like maybe check out. Check out American Kickboxer 2. Have you ever?
Is that the one where your man goes to Argentina?
No. This is the one. All right. So this is the one where this little girl gets kidnapped, right? Tackleberry is married to this woman who owns like part of a business with her uncle, right? And this little girl gets kidnapped, right? And her mother calls up who she says is the father of the child, which is like this hard-nosed cop, right? Who doesn't really work good with a partner, right? So she calls him in to help, like, you know, to like find the daughter. But then she calls another dude who's like this pretty boy, like Sylvester Stallone reject, who she also says is the father. So she doesn't know who the father is between these two. And it and they can't figure out and so they have to work together to solve who kidnapped their daughter. It's super great.
It sounds like that Robin Williams Billy Crystal movie. Remember that to find her son.
Yes, but it's not intentionally funny, right? So if you take that and they're really trying to be serious, but I watched that movie so many times as a young kid, because my mother had brought it home and it had action, and I thought that it was a legit movie. Like, when you're young, you don't know that like Talon of the Eagle is like a B movie. Like, you think that that is a real, like,
action. Oh, yeah, man.
With, like, belly blanks. You like, and this dude from Canada that I've never heard from is fucking exotic. It's Canada.
Like, fucking, what's her name? China O'Brien, Cynthia Rothrock.
She is my favorite female action star to this day.
She was just as big a star as, like, whatever fucking female, like, what's your one? Boring fucking face on her. What's she called? She was in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, Meg Ryan?
Meg Ryan, yeah. She was just as big a star as Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
In my opinion, when I was a kid. I was there going, yeah, man, fucking China O'Brien is a hit. Mm-hmm. It's on the same video shelf as all of her movies.
China O'Brien, like, see, and you've hit a nerve because Cynthia is, like, one of my favorite, so I can, like, name off. Yes. Like, a bunch of movies that I think to this day are better than any of the action, like, female action leads right now, because she was a woman who could kick ass, and she could take a punch. Like, girls right now, like, they're all, like...
So she's marriage material.
No! No! I mean, like, I'm talking about in the sense of an action movie, like... Black Widow is cool, but as soon as somebody punches her, she's down for the count. Like, she can't really, like, take a punch. But, I mean, like, you take, like, Magic Crystal, Yes Ma'am, China O'Brien 2, you take, what other movies, Cynthia, she's just been in so many great movies, and she was just such a great Marsha, and that's what I think is cool about her and what's different than now. Like, back then, they would take a chance on somebody who was a martial artist first and then an actress. That's usually how it started. Now what happens is people are actors and then they learn martial arts for the role. Like, before, you were the martial artist and then you became an actor because your discipline to the skill was so good that people said, like, this will come through on the screen. Now, like, people get roles who are supposed to be like kung fu masters, and they learn after. I think that's why The Raid does so well, because I think everybody in there is already good at that whatever discipline they're in, and then when you put them on camera and show the brutality of it, I think it just bleeds through.
The Matrix changed all that, if you ask me.
Yeah, the Matrix is still one of my favorite. It is still one of my favorite martial arts movies, and I do think that those guys. I mean, and that was before. That was a time when, if you look at those videos of them training, like, they were really going at it. Like, they were really training, like, super hard. I'm just talking as far as like these superhero movies. There's a lot of superhero movies now, so I don't know if you talked about it on the last sidecast, because I haven't listened to all the way through the last sidecast. But did you talk about the Batman Superman trailer, the Suicide Squad trailer?
No.
Y'all guys didn't bring that up. I thought y'all would have been primed to.
No, man. Look at all right. I hated Man of Steel. I thought it was
really
awful. No, and here's
that hurts my heart. You know why? Because I hold your criticism in very high regard, because I respect your opinion a lot more than, you know, these clowns over here like Ken or somebody. fucking clown.
Well, here's why I hated it, right? Because it knew better. Right? It's some of its action scenes and plotting and pacing and all the rest, just I couldn't stand. But there were fucking excellent scenes in it early on.
Uh-huh.
Like that scene where like young Clark can't control his powers and he's stuck in the fucking the closet in school.
Uh-huh.
And his mom has to help him. That was great.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, holy shit, I've never had this much empathy with Superman before.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 hours later, he's putting the cone of crush on fucking General Zod. And General Zod can't move his eyes to the right. And, just like, you know, like I wouldn't mind. He's there going, I will not let you kill this fucking tourist family who are here somewhere. And you're there going, you didn't have a problem sawing buildings in half, you know, 20 minutes ago. Like,
well, I think there are a couple of things that I think that Zack Snyder didn't do well enough to make those movies. Now, I enjoyed Man of Steel, right? I enjoyed it. I didn't think that it was as bad as like The Dark Knight Rises, right? It's not as bad as that. No, I don't even think it's that. I think that The Dark Knight Rises I think The Dark Knight Rises is a bad script, right? I don't think Man of Steel was a bad script. I think that the direction was not that great in what they did with the direction, what they did not emphasize, what they needed to emphasize to get people to understand what was going on. Like, a lot of people didn't like the destruction and everything, and they couldn't understand why Superman didn't do all these different things. The thing is, what they played out at the beginning and then what they said at the end is that Clark Kent was raised as a human. Like, he wasn't raised as a god, right? So he doesn't have all the right answers. And and also, he's only been wearing the cape for like 2 days, right? So,
oh yeah, but there's a couple of flaws that just go, like, there's no way that Clark Kent let his dad die in that tornado.
All this stuff was, you know, all this stuff was predicated on his family being a human family, like a normal family. Like, in this new trailer, a lot of people were talking about, why is Clark's mom telling him, you know, that he doesn't owe the world anything and he doesn't have to save them if he doesn't want to? I read this from somebody, and they said this. They said, that's what a mother would say to a kid. Your mother would say, hey, you can either do what everybody expects for you to do, or you can do what you want, but it's got to be your choice. And I think that's what a mother would say to it. Like, hey, you don't owe these people anything. Like,
sorry,
you
no. Sorry. Not an Irisher. Right. An Irish mother would be there going, come on now, Clark. You have all these powers, and you still don't have a fucking job. Get out there. So would you not just go and kill that fella in North Korea and just be done with it?
Also, the whole thing with Zod was what they did not emphasize, what he emphasized, and he said it, but a lot of people didn't pick up on it because it was in the middle of an action scene. If they would have done it like during a part that was more quiet where you could take in the dialogue a little bit better, is Zod said to him, you're either going to have to kill me.
Well, the thing
is, either right, you kill me,
you go back,
I kill
right?
you. There's nothing that can be done where I don't die or you don't die. That
if you go back and watch Superman 2, mm-hmm. all right, the 70s one, mm-hmm. okay? Like, yes, the action scenes don't look as great as Zack Snyder's ones would or could, but they matter more. And by the end of Man of Steel, I was just sitting there going, oh god, more. It was just like,
I just think,
you know,
that I don't mind the destruction because I think that's what that is a realistic take on what would happen if two like gods fought in the middle of a city, especially if one said, if one said, I'm going to kill everybody here, or you're gonna have to kill me. I could understand all that destruction. There are two parts in the movie that I really, really hated, right? Three parts, really. One of them is a fundamental thing. Fundamentally, through the whole movie, Superman doesn't smile until the end of the movie, right?
Okay.
The whole movie, Superman does not smile once until, like, the end. When she says, I'm glad to be here, when she says, welcome to the planet, and he says, I'm glad to be here, that is the only time Superman smiles through the whole movie. Fundamentally, that's what I had a problem with. Two, once they had all the destruction and everything around the world, I mean, around, you know, Metropolis or whatever, Superman and what's the girl's name? Blah, blah, blah. What's her name?
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane having a fucking makeout session in the middle of a fucking human holocaust. I'm like, what the fuck are you kissing about? Like, are you serious?
Got a couple of problems with it, okay?
Yeah, so that was my second one. Let me just get my third one out. My third one was, and this is a
question. You said there was two things you had a
problem.
No,
I said there was three. I said one was fundamental, and the other two, I have these problems. So the third one, right? The third one is, this is something that no one has ever been able to answer for me. Everything else can be logically explained except for this. Why did Zod invite Lois Lane to the ship when he came to pick up Superman? That is the only reason why. I was like, why is she going to the ship with him?
I'm going to throw this out there.
Okay.
I think he was there going, you know what? When I visit a planet, I terraform it, and I fuck the hottest bitch I see.
But, that's on the general's fucking business card.
No, I'd say, right, problems for me, because the trailer looked amazing for Man of Steel, okay? Like, I watched the trailer over and over again. Mm-hmm. But, like, it started out when, what's his name, Kal-El?
Mm-hmm.
Jor-El. Superman's dad.
His dad, okay.
Right? He beat up General Zod in the first 5 minutes.
Which does not make any sense.
I was there going, he's a scientist, he shouldn't know any of this. On top of that, like, can you... like
the science judo class he took. That was the one elective that he had to take in fucking...
Bill, if you are a fucking warlord general, alright, there's no way any fucking...
General.
There's no... Look, I'm just saying, right, let me think. There's no famous warlords anymore.
Yeah.
If... Alexander the Great, okay, fought Neil deGrasse Tyson. Right? I'm pretty sure Alexander would win. Okay?
He spit on him and say, that's for Pluto, bitch.
I didn't even know it was there. But anyway. But, what was the, there was that. That was a big problem for me. The pacing of it was just, I felt like it was shoddily put together. Mm-hmm. There was, the thing is, I felt that the payoff, there was no kind of victory to it. It was very kind of, like, Batman could get away with that kind of darkness and grittiness, right? But, like, with Superman, even when you look at, like, Superman 2 or Superman 3, where it gets kind of dark, it ends with triumphant.
Okay.
You know, and to me the tone was just off. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know. It just did not work, and I was bored by everything just because it wasn't like when you go back and look at some great fight scenes. Okay, it's the best ones are the ones that make sense, but also that just everything feels like it matters.
Uh-huh.
You know, like at the end of the Avengers, all right, the first Avengers, okay, that fight scene's fantastic because it's so frantic and it's, but there's a, like, it's dangerous. Like, Superman doesn't give a shit about Metropolis. I don't know, maybe he got there from day one in the park and maybe I got him or something. But, like, he doesn't try to save Metropolis, he just tries. Whereas there's those scenes in the
But I'm saying, like, what What Zod's my only rebuff to the last one is like Zod kept saying, "Hey, I'm going to kill everyone here unless you kill me."
Yeah, but he could have done like there's other ways to do that. Like, I mean, he could have Superman could have just somehow outsmarted him and made them fight on the moon or something. You
Superman
know?
In this universe, Superman can't fly to the moon.
Can he?
No, he can't fly to the moon in this universe. No.
I don't know the other movies he can.
All
fly
the other over. Like yeah, in those other movies he can, but in this universe, Superman can't just fly to the moon. It's not.
Well, that's
it's not like a thing. And I think in a lot of like comic books, Superman can't just fly in space infinitely. Like he has to have some kind of apparatus.
Leave the solar system.
Maybe.
But yeah, he wouldn't be able to leave the solar system, I'd say, because, I mean, gravity would go against him at one point. But, like,
I don't...
I mean, once he's powered by the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the nearest star is, like, light years away, so he wouldn't be able to...
Like, all I'm saying is the whole time Zod would have been trying to get... I think what Superman was doing... and this is also... Everybody knows that I'm a big DC guy, right? I'm not really big on the Marvel movies, right? But the reason why is that in DC movies, you have these discussions, right? The discussion we have right now, we're having right now, is a discussion that a lot of people have when you talk about DC movies, all of them. Even the ones that are just universally loved, people still have these discussions about them. The thing about Marvel movies is, like, they're just there. You like them for, like, 5 minutes, and that's really it. You kind of, like, swallow it and let it go. The DC movie kind of, like, stays with you, and you can kind of remember. Like, I just saw the last, like, I haven't seen Ant-Man, but everybody says it's really good, and I'm planning on seeing that. But I saw that last Age of Ultron.
I didn't care.
Yeah,
like,
It
was fine, I guess, but at the same time, I was just like, you know.
I just want my movies, like, I don't care how stupid or ridiculous they are. If they make sense, I'll roll with you. If it wasn't for Tony Stark, the whole movie, there'd be no movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did everything, right? He was the catalyst. He was the protagonist and the antagonist.
If you asked me, it could have been about an hour shorter than it was.
Yeah. I mean, basically the last hour, you could show it scene for scene from the last Avengers movie, and it's the exact same movie. Like, scene for scene is, okay, this is happening. Tony Stark is trying to do something to sacrifice himself. The Hulk has a big moment where he jumps up and goes and gets the bad guy. Like, it is scene for scene the same movie, right?
On top of that, there was a, for me,
mm-hmm.
It would stop every 5 seconds to have a joke.
Yeah, that those
you know
those one liners.
I just don't punch a fucker.
Those one liners, and a lot of people liked this the whole Hawkeye thing in the middle with his family. I hated that. I was like, what am I watching? Like I felt
that
like
was that was the cinematic equivalent, right? Someone taking their pictures of their kids out of their wall.
It was like
fucking up the kid.
And then for them to introduce, like, if they had made them part of the plot, like had Ultron had found them at their house at this like hideout, right? That was off the grid, and Ultron found them, and Hawkeye had to sacrifice himself for his family, and like they had, and Ultron had done something to take care of it. Yeah, but like they show up and there's Thor standing in their living room in his suit. Like I was like, this looks ridiculous. Like, it's as if Batman went to Ma Kent's house, like, in his Batman suit, during the daylight, and he's, like, standing there talking to her, you know?
In fairness, if you are Batman, right, it's better to turn up as Batman than if you turn up as Bruce Wayne.
I guess so.
You know, because, I mean, Superman's man might expect Batman, but if Bruce Wayne turns up, she's like, why are you here? Wait a minute, you were... Oh, shit, I figured it out!
I bet so. I think you're right on this one, Johnny Boy. I think you're right. But the scene, like, I had this scene in my head. I was like, if Zack Snyder wants to top that shawarma scene from Avengers, that's what they would have. They would have Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman in Ma Kent's house, and her cooking them breakfast, and them like sitting at the table and eating in their costume. I was like, that would be the
I'll
that
say
would
this, right?
end the world.
I'll say this on the topic of the Batman Superman trailer, right? The trailer actually looks fantastic, I'll give it that,
I still
right?
have a raging hard on.
And the suit, the bat suit,
My God.
is probably the best looking one ever.
Yeah, he looks really
And,
good as.
you know, however,
Okay.
the trailer great as well.
But I do say they are different writers. Even though I think that Chris Terrio wrote most of it, right? So I think David Goyer was just kind of like crossing the T's and dotting the I's for him. So they have a different writer helping out, and I think Affleck may have been putting in his two cents on the direction of the film. Like it
Well,
was.
that's good because he's a great director, man.
Yeah, I bet there's no way that he was sitting there looking at something as a director and not saying to, Zach, like, hey, dude, I know you got your own way about doing things, but how about we do, like, doing, like, some positive reinforcement type of stuff, some
I
reverse.
love the idea of Zack Snyder going, "Where do you get off?" And he just pulls out his Oscar and puts it on the table.
There's multiple Oscars. Like, here's one
Yeah.
for writing, and here's one for directing, right? All I need one is one for
And you can just start sucking my dick anytime you like.
anytime.
Yeah.
So what about what about the Suicide Squad one? What was your take on that one?
I don't know. I was kind of shocked to see Batman in it, but
Well, I think you need a little something. You gotta sprinkle a little, like you need
yeah.
something to for people to come to the table, right?
I mean, I don't know. Look, I remember seeing the photos of the cast that they released with the Juggalo Joker and the all the people who looked like they were cosplaying and just kind of being like, ugh. Like the thing is, and I'll say this is a personal thing, okay? I don't like redesigns and all of Harley Quinn. Like my favorite iteration of her is the first one, where she had the full Harlequin costume on, and
I don't like them showing her hair. For some reason, I have a problem with her hair. I like
it's just.
her hair gets me. Her hair, and I do think that if you, I think that her voice was is also part of her charm. So if
Yeah,
they're
the
gonna throw that out of the, if they're gonna throw that out of the way, if the performance is good, because then you have to like look at it as a real life person, right? Nobody's gonna be talking in that weird like 1940s s, circuit board girl. Gangster's girlfriend type of voices. So, but I think her voice, the way she talked, was a big part of her personality. Her being crazy in love with the Joker, just like mentally and criminally in love with her, dangerously, if I could say.
When she sees a red light, she sees gold.
Yo, Amelia is gonna be so happy that she knows the words to the song. I think that is part of it. I was super surprised how well people received Jared Leto as the Joker. Because a lot of people were really angry. Not angry that he had been cast, but they were angry with the redesign. I think that it has become, we have become a culture of, I think the thing we try to weed out in society, we slowly start to become, right? So everybody talks about not bullying people, right? Like, we got to stop this bullying tactic. Mm-hmm. But anytime something happens that people don't agree with, they start to bully it, right? You see
well,
it on
Twitter. There's a book you should read, actually, all right?
Uh-huh.
It's called So You've Been Publicly Shamed,
uh-huh,
by John Ronson.
Okay.
Who I believe lives in your city now. He's a British writer.
Oh, he lives in New York? All right. I'll look him up.
Yeah. And
in the
yeah, give him a call.
Check him out. Maybe I'll see him at the park.
But he wrote a fantastic book about internet shame and culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, look, when it's the same with when that the Suicide Squad trailer came out, okay?
Okay.
And all the stuff came out, right? I was just like, look, I have no problem with the Joker having tattoos or people doing anything. That was the one that said damage on his forehead.
Yeah.
Because to me, that was just like, I get it. All right. You know, it was just one brushstroke too much, you know?
All right.
And on top of that, like, I don't know, just there's two types of superhero movies, as far as I'm concerned, sometimes when it comes to visual approach.
Okay.
There's the films that came, like Marvel, really, because they were making their own movies, they were the kind of the studios went, let's make the best film version of the comic book. You know, like, let's translate the comic book as best we can to a film.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Bryan Singer version where it's like, let's put them in leather so they're cool like Tom Cruise.
You know, Bryan Singer makes some of the best comic book movies, dude. He's got one bad one on his resume, which was Superman Returns.
I'll be honest with you, I don't really care too much for a lot of his stuff.
So like, you didn't like the first two X-Men movies, Johnny?
I like the second one. I think the first one's kind of boring. And I didn't really care for Days of Future Past. My favorite X-Men movie.
Whoa! John, you are slowly falling off of my critics list. Your Metacritic is going down. You're
fucking
Alpha Critic.
First Class is the best X-Men movie. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right.
That's the best director and the best writer. And fucking, because, like, Jane Goldman.
That's Matthew Vaughn, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever see the woman who writes those movies with him?
Uh-uh.
Jane Goldman, her name is. Like, just Google image her anytime you want to see a cracking pair of tits.
Oh, my God.
Like, she's like that dream wife, all right?
Well,
who's, like, really kind of hot in that kind of way that women get when they're beyond 30, like, you know. And fucking also really talented writer. So you're just like, she can just go and make the money. I'm just going to fucking play video games.
Yeah.
You know?
That's every dude's dream, right?
A friend of mine, and here's a question for you, actually. A friend of mine put it to me one time. He said, like, could you... say, pick your favorite porn star, right?
Uh-huh.
Could you be in a relationship with her if she continued to work?
No, I'm that stupid jealous type, dude. I hate to admit it, but I am extremely jealous. Like, extremely. Like, I can't, everything, I don't know why, and maybe I've changed a little bit. I'm better than I am before, but I'm extremely jealous, so I don't think I could do it, right? Like, I don't think I could do it, though. Unless it was like Bailey J or something like that.
I think she's married anyway. So,
yeah, she is, you know? And then I'd have to divorce my family. No, I'd have to kill all my family. Because they'd be like, what are you doing with this this transgendered porn star? I'm like, oh. But they wouldn't even know what that meant. Even if I told them, like, yeah, she's a transgendered porn star. What's that mean? Then I'd have to explain that. Then after I explained that to them, I'd have to kill them.
You just
then I'd really have to
20,
kill.
basically.
I'd have to kill Firm and Rodney. I'd have to start a whole another 2 a.m. I'd have to basically kill everybody I know that would not be cool with that.
Well, look, I'll be honest with you, okay? When I saw her first on the internet years ago, okay? And I do remember thinking, and I said this to a friend of mine, I showed him a picture of her, like, you know? I went, you know what, if I was out one night and I hooked up with her and we got back to the place and I didn't know she had a dick, okay, and then she just got naked and there was a dick there, I think I'd just probably do it anyway. You know, I'm really, you know what? It's a long walk home.
I was just joking around with some dudes on what was it? It was on Facebook. I'm not on Xbox Live. So I'm joking with these guys, and I'm telling them how I was like, yeah, man. I've been watching all these weird videos now, and I'm like, I'm really into Bailey J. Like, I've never seen any of her stuff. I'd probably never watch any of this stuff unless I asked it.
I'll tell you why I saw her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to know if there was a video out there of a transgender woman fucking a regular woman. Because I was like, surely that's the best, right?
Because that's cool, too, right? Like, that still works in your favor, right? You're like, hey, now, technically, I'm still watching regular porn, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, at least, like, you know, because the worst part of a porn is the dude.
Yeah. You
know? Especially when he's got a fucking mouth on him and he won't shut up.
Yeah.
You know, but hits well, then, Jesus, we're doubling down here.
It's like the best of both worlds. So I'm saying this, and these guys are like, oh, no, you're not into that. So I keep agging them on. Like, yeah, I'm into it. I'm into the, what did I say? I'm into the chicks with dicks. And one friend goes, that's not a chick with a dick. That's a dude with tits. I lost it. I lost it. So I know it's pretty late in Ireland. So we're gonna get to what we originally wanted to talk about. So this whole Hulk Hogan racism, it's heartbreaking, dude. Right? It's like the.
I'll be honest with you, right? In situations like this, I always think of the immediate victims.
Okay.
So I straight away felt for Dennis Rodman, Virgil, and Stevie Ray, the black members of the New World Order, because they signed up for life to that. Okay, there's no. They've still got to be in the NWO with this cunt, you know? So, you know, sorry, lads. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's like the mafia. You never get out unless you're in a box. Like.
All right, so I'm going to read this, right? I'm going to read exactly what Hulk Hogan said, right? If I can find the transcript. Like, so when you're... The thing is, I think Hulk Hogan, like Michael Jackson, like it's rough, right? Because like Hulk Hogan might be one of the first people, other than like a Superman or like a comic book hero, like a true hero to a kid growing up, especially in the 80s. Growing up in the 80s, in the early 90s. Hulk Hogan was this, like, the symbol of somebody that, hey, if you do the right things, you can be successful. And then it was a sense of community, because they had, like, Hulk Hogan and, like, Hulkamaniacs, you know, and everybody's a Hulkamaniac. You know, and there were some people who liked Ultimate Warrior. A lot of people were big Ultimate Warrior fans, and everybody was a big fan of everything. But to have such an icon as Hulk Hogan, where everybody just basically universally loved him. And I mean, Hulk Hogan has truly been like falling the last couple of years, because every new thing that comes about Hulk Hogan, it just slowly starts to tear him down, tear him down, and tear him down, and tear him down. And the last thing you had was like, okay, he may be a douchebag, and he may be morally, he may not be right with all the shit that happened with his son, and his son killing the dude on the boat, and him trying to help him get off from killing the guy, and then him sleeping with his friend's wife. You know, like, morally those things were bad, but they're something that is basically inside of all of us that, you know, you could say, hey, I don't think I would ever be in that situation, but I can't not say that would never, ever, ever happen to me. Like, I don't know, in a moment of weakness, I might do some of these things, right? But then when it comes to, like, racism, right? Racism is a thing that is just, it's like a shame that you can't get over. Like, it's nothing that you can say, like, I have felt this way about a certain people. Even when you know it's wrong, right? You still go out and do these things and say these things. So Hulk Hogan said it, and I'm gonna read it all out, all right? I'm gonna read it all out in front of you, Johnny. I know it's a rough thing, but this is the world is full of crazy stuff, and this stuff is this stuff is out there.
Sorry.
What?
I think maybe Sergeant Slaughter is there going, yeah, well, I'm just saying, in the long run, maybe my sedition to Iraq wasn't such a big deal.
Sergeant Slaughter, hey, I bet you he's probably saying, hey, I'm I guess I've come out on the winning end of this one. And I will commend the WWF for not trying to, you know, protect him from it. They knew what was happening. He told him the National Enquirer was going, I guess they called him, said, hey, we have this transcript and we're going to put it out on the internet. And he called the WWE and Triple H said, fucking hell no, you are not going to bring our brand down, because this is something I think it would really hurt the WWE. I mean, it's hurting the WWE even without them even without him being associated with them, it's still hurting the WWE's thing. So I'm so glad that they took a stance and that they did the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, they did the right thing as far as their business and as far as having someone that's connected to them do this. You understand? You know? Mm-hmm. So
look, it's the only thing to do in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guy like Hogan is, it'd be like if this was, say, I don't know, fucking Crush, right?
Okay.
Would anyone care? Mm. You know, they'd be like, I'm just some fucking shithead old ex wrestler who just happens to be a racist,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's Hogan, you know. It's, as you were saying, like, this guy was the biggest deal in like the late 80s and early 90s, like, you know, and even through the late 90s with the NWO and all the rest, like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, the problem is here, is when you still talk to people about pro wrestling, if you say you're a wrestling fan or whatever, they go, oh, like Hulk Hogan, you know, and it used to be a thing where I go, oh, yeah, you know, Hulkamania, blah, 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 you know,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm just like, Oh God, what do I say? You know what I mean? Like, it's a tricky fucking thing because like, it's so weird. This, it's
It's
he.
extremely complicated, right? It's extremely complicated because I think everybody has had a moment where they can say, I didn't say the right things, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's had those, everybody has those moments. And but the thing is, once you put something out there like that, even if you aren't a racist, right? That is what, that's what you become, right? Like
Yeah,
even
but
like I think that Bill Cosby raped all those women, right? He raped them all, right?
yeah.
And everything else. But even if it was all, even if the women did say, yeah, we wanted the drugs or whatever, we asked for, all of this was consensual, it's, you still have that taint of you had to drug women and have sex with them, right? While they were on drugs. And you still get that rapist, you know, like you still get that label. So, and the thing is, Hulk Hogan was such a big, like, he's such a big guy, and as far as, you know, wrestling goes, that you just, it's crazy.
I have an idea about this. Okay, if I can just share it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you, as well as I, okay, have probably run into people who are, okay, who, in a weird way, I don't want to excuse them, but like, almost can't help it. If you know what I mean, because they're raised by like people who are like dumb and fucking prejudiced and whatever else, and because those people are that way, their children kind of inherit their prejudices and their social class and all the rest. So, like, how do I put it? Like, you end up in these cycles. You know what I mean? Like, you're brought up thinking it's normal. And, like,
But
certain.
you're Hulk Hogan.
That,
You
that's what I'm
gotta
saying,
know
right?
that it is not normal
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not excusing Hogan. What I'm saying is, has. Like, I'm not saying those people have excuses, but there are reasons why they may think the way they do. Alright? Beyond them just being the fucking assholes. Okay, Hulk Hogan has no such excuse. Hulk Hogan was a multi-millionaire, right? Probably even a billionaire at one point. He was a media star. He was fucking. He, you know, he. I mean, he was the goose that laid the golden eggs that funded the WWE. You know, He's had every opportunity. He's have every had, a, had the whole world licking these fucking bronzed arse for the last 40 years, okay? And he had everything. He had to go out of his way to be racist. You know, Hulk Hogan shouldn't have enough time in the day to be a racist. But he has businesses to run. He has personal appearances to make. He has all this other shit. He has fans to be thinking of. He has family to be thinking of. But still, old cunt Hogan found the time to be a cunt. And that's why. Now, this is. I haven't heard the audio, but
Okay,
obviously.
so here we go. I got it right here. So
No, I've read the
you've
transcript,
read the
but
transcript. I'm gonna
I haven't heard the words come out of his mouth, personally. However, what I'm saying is, if this turns out to be true, okay. All the shit, you deserve it, brother. All right, Hulkamania ain't going nowhere. All right,
Hulkamania might be At least 10% of it might just fall out of it, right? As soon as they hear it. So here is
sorry for stopping.
No. I'm just gonna read this out loud. This is what supposedly this is from the transcript. This is what he says to Hulk Hogan's I guess a rich black dude must have offered to put up the money to
personally. I like to think it was Zeus from
Scary Sherry. So apparently, maybe Tiny Lester put up the money to fund her music career, and he was Hulk Hogan was a little mad about it, right? Because I guess what's her name, Brooke Hogan, I guess was messing around with one of the guy's son or something like that. And so he says, so at one point Hulk Hogan says, I don't know if Brooke was fucking the black guy's son. Is it? I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I'm a racist to a point, fucking niggas. That's what he says.
Look, we're all racist here, right?
A racist to a point. So, but when it comes to nice people and shit, and you know whatever, he says okay. It says I mean, I'd rather if she was going to fuck some nigger, I'd rather have her marry an 8 foot tall nigger worth $1 million, like a basketball player. I guess we're all a little racist, fucking nigger. What the fuck did somebody do to the Hulk Hogan? Talk like this.
To me, it sounds like, you know, the way he's using racial epithets in this, it's got the same pattern that, you know, when you're a kid and you leave the house to go play with your friends, and one of them swears, and you realize you can all get away with swearing, like, and no one's going to tell on you. So you just start going, yeah, I'm going to go up to the fucking cunt and shop there and get a fucking... You know what I mean? And then when you go home, you're like, "Ooh, I was swearing all day." You know?
And nobody knows.
Yeah.
He's been walking around, and he's probably been shaking, like Booker T's been shaking his hand.
Poor Booker T.
Booker T's probably been walking around shaking his hand, saying hello to him.
He's still angry over that promo from WCW.
Norman Smiley's probably been bringing talent in, shaking his hand. Hulk Hogan.
Do you know what? Do you know? I understand, all right? Do you know
what?
He kept the shit.
What black?
He kept the shit quiet, all right? Up until Bad News Brown was dead, all right? Because Bad News had kicked the shit out of him.
I don't know, like, and there was no. I just want to know, like, what did? What did a black person ever do to Hulk Hogan? Like, black people always loved Hulk Hogan. And why would he talk way?
If we can talk professionally, right?
Okay.
If it wasn't for Mr. T fucking WrestleMania, I had half as fucking many eyeballs on it. Like.
Yeah, you're right. You are completely right. I just don't. Oh my god! Now every time, and every time anything that has to do with Hulk Hogan, it's gonna have that tangent. Like now, people are gonna go back and look at all that NWO stuff he was doing, and be like, "Wait, he was a little aggressive then too."
Well, as OSW Review pointed out, he will point to the time that he made Virgil the leader of the Black and White. But You know, I'm sure he'll probably he'll change his Twitter picture to a picture of one time when him and Coco Beware went to a barbecue together.
And then you have like Dennis Rodman. Like if you want to lose all credibility, you have Dennis Rodman back you. Like this guy backs Kim Jong Un, right?
Like, who's Robin? Who's Robin back?
So Robin was on Twitter. Number one, this has nothing to do with wrestling, but number one, he just.
Oh, no, Robin was in the NWO.
Yeah, he was.
For life, we talked about it earlier on. He goes to the AGM and he's Rodzilla t-shirt, like, you know.
Oh my god. First, though, Dennis Rodman, he backed Donald Trump for president. He endorsed Trump for president. That's number one. And then he gets on Twitter and he's like, well, you know, Hulk Hogan is definitely, you know, not a racist. You know, everybody just needs to fall back. Whew. Apparently, maybe Dennis Rodman didn't read the transcript. I think
it's the only way you can come to that conclusion.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Like, my thing is, it is just inherently obvious that maybe I just don't know what else to say. Like, I don't think there's any time I could be like, fucking my daughter's fucking this fucking Irish Mick. Like, I would never, there's no way I would ever say that. I would not care, you know what I mean? Like, I would not care as long as she was happy, even if she was, you know, even if it was, like, I don't think that there's any race, and maybe I just grew up at a different time, I would not care what the person is, and obviously, he doesn't care if the dude is black. He just wants him to be a rich, high-profile black person.
Yeah, well, like, as I said, he's going out of his way to be an absolute fucking cunt in this respect. Like,
it sucks, you know? Dude. It really sucks. Like, it sucks. I think it sucks for kids, too, who look up to Hulk Hogan, even kids of a new generation, to have this come out, you know what I mean?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, look, I wasn't a Hogan guy exclusively as a kid. I was much more of a Macho Man guy.
Okay, all right.
Because Macho was fucking awesome. Like,
yeah. That's without saying.
And, I mean, I remember going...
And he was pro-black! He dropped a rap album, all right? And he
yes, he did.
In the rap album! So Macho Man has fucking won, all right? Macho Man, God bless the dead, has won, all right? He is greatest WWF champion.
And ultimately he matched as the Dukes there, I suppose, yeah. Would be a man.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, all right?
Yeah.
It's a better album than it should be.
I'll tell you this. Our mutual friend, Ken, played that for me on the we were coming from an independent wrestling match, which is and he throws that on and I'm like, who is this? And he goes, yo, this is Macho Man. I'm like, huh? He's like, yeah, this is Macho Man. This song is about Hulk Hogan. He's like, what? And I'm like, what? And then we listened to the whole album, like the whole ride all the way there. So Macho Man, at least in the black community, Macho Man is one. All right, Hulk Hogan has
the thing. Like the as I said, to me, like on top of that, I came in right at the end of Hulkamania as a kid,
mm-hmm.
So it would have been like 91, maybe 1990. Okay. So like Macho Man was more. That was when Macho and Flair were kind of
okay.
On top,
uh-huh.
And Bret Hart and the British Bulldog were kind of coming up.
Okay. So,
I mean, I liked Hogan, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was more of a savage warrior kind of guy, like, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Ultimate Warrior, Warrior as well, doesn't have the greatest track record on public expressions of tolerance.
Not at all. A lot of people do, and I think this also It just highlights that no matter how big somebody gets, right, and no matter how much they should not have these biases against people, because and a lot of it is mostly stereotypical type of things, but it just shows that no matter how much a person who probably has come in contact with the richest black people and the most economically in need black people, or just people of all cultures and all elk, and but still to have a prejudice against something as meaningless as skin color. It is unbelievable.
The thing is, when you really go back through the history of wrestling, I might consider myself something of a historian on the subject.
Yes, you are. You are knowledgeable. I will say that.
Hogan's, and the biggest influence on him would have been Dusty Rhodes and Superstar Billy Graham.
Superstar Billy Graham is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
I will fight any man. I will fight this man. He is from Japan. I will fight him right now. Look at me. I'm wearing all the colors of the rainbow.
Yeah, hey,
all you people with your black and white TV, you go get a color TV so you can see me in color, baby. That's the way I need it. Fuck off, Billy Graham.
I will tell you this. Dusty Rhodes, Superstar Billy Graham, Ric Flair, and The Rock are like the Mount Rushmores of guys who could promo the best, right?
Oh, man. But like what I'm saying with Superstar and Dusty in particular, they were both huge fans of Sweet Daddy Siki.
Okay.
And that he was a black guy who was a huge star in Memphis and in Canada.
Okay.
You know, so even the heritage of Hogan's like fandom for wrestling.
Uh-huh.
he has no respect for his own history.
No.
You know what I mean? And, I don't know. Again, as I said, he's going out of his way to be a piece of shit. I also kind of wish,
because he's so fabulous, your partner on Canon on Canon, Sean, I wish that I could also ask him about how he felt about it, because I know he would come up with something that would be so funny. It'd be tear-jerking. But if the next time you do a Canon on Canon and you and you bring up the subject, please like record it so I can hear what
We're going to, like, there's no doubt that we're going to be doing a Hogan aside. Next one, you know, that's the thing, and it was something that happens faster than ever now.
Mm-hmm.
Is as soon as someone becomes infamous for something like this, everybody sooner or later everyone's just going to turn it all into a big series of jokes, and you know, just kind of take the fucking.
I think humor is a way for humans to it is a way for them to cope with something that is super serious, right?
Yeah.
They use a joking type of thing to kind of like cope with with something that is extremely serious, but not serious enough to joke about, like the shooting that happened at the movie theater the other day. Or the shootings that happened in South Carolina. Like, that's not really something to joke about. But something like this that is so outrageous. Is it not outrageous? And I've kept seeing this on Twitter. People saying this on Twitter. They were like, Bill Cosby is a rapist. And Hulk Hogan is a racist. And it's just like, it is so outrageous and weird who these people were and how and what they've become. And it seems like people don't learn. I'm like, I'm not saying that everything that I do is like pitch perfect and morally.
Right? if I can quote myself an episode of Psycast, I said there's a certain element out there of the social justice warrior community on the internet, shall we say, who always ask the question, is it possible to be racist towards white people?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you clearly haven't listened to Two Angry Men.
We don't. I don't think we set out.
No. It's just, it's always like, what was the thing you were talking about a few weeks ago? Where you're just like, when he's went, listen, every fucking heavy set white man is a serial.
That's racist. That was super racist. But the thing about Firm is that he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. That's the thing. Like, when he says that, when Firm says something like that, like, it didn't even come off as racist.
Oh, look it, man. I get it.
Firm says that out of love, right? Like, out of love. But if a white guy said that about a fat black people, it would be the worst thing in the world.
See? So double standards.
There is a double standard. There is a double standard. It's definitely a double standard, but I think that is another double standard when it comes to
anti-Semitism.
Not Semitism. Maybe anti-Semitism, but
That's hatred towards people of the Jewish faith.
Yeah. I know it. Were you being racist then? Am I not supposed to know what that means? Because I'm black, John.
No, you don't know what it means because you're American.